ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدني علما، اللهم فكهنا في الدين، اللهم إني أسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. We will look at Surah Al-Ma'un. We will look at its tafsir. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The name of this surah is from the last word, Al-Ma'un. Majority of the scholars agree that this is a Meccan surah. Ibn Abbas and Qatada have said that this surah is Madani. Others have said that half of the surah was revealed in Mecca, as it has been said that it was about Af bin Wail, and the remaining half surah was revealed in Medina about the chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay. The reason for this difference of opinion is that the first three ayahs, the topics covered, are normal for surahs revealed in Mecca. But the remaining four ayahs are about Salah and showing off, which were attributes of a munafiq and their salahs. Therefore, it is said that those ayahs are Madani, because in the Meccan surahs, there is no mention of Salah. Some say the entire surah was revealed in Mecca because the believers would pray some Salahs, or the disbelievers would pray by clapping or other ways. In the previous surah, Surah Al-Quraysh, those who do not give thanks for the favors of Allah are condemned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Quraysh of Mecca with abundant provisions of sustenance. But what did they do? They did not enjoin feeding of the poor. There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that they should worship the Lord of that house. Here in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes them for their laziness in their worship and salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the abundant favors bestowed on the Quraysh in Surah Al-Quraysh, yet they denied in the resurrection and in the recompense in the hereafter. So in this surah, Allah warns these people from the punishment of the hereafter. The mention of Munafiqeen's character in the end of this surah rebukes the Munafiq or the hypocrite. The sign of a hypocrite is that he is heedless of his salah. He does riya, shows off, and doesn't even share small things of use with his neighbors. So here in this surah, the munafiqeen are warned of the punishment. We will look at this surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ara'ayta, did you see, did you consider, alladhi, one who, yukazzibu bid-deen, who denies of the deen. If we take deen to mean religion, then denying Islam. Whoever does not believe in Islam and denies it. Denying is doing kufr, and then another is kizb. Kufr is outright denial, and the person says, I do not believe in Islam, without gaining any knowledge about it. While kizb is lying, this is when a person knows that this is the truth, but changes it to something else, while knowing that it is the truth, but calls it false and denies it. In a way, the person denies while knowing he is a liar, and then calls this deen not true. So he denies the deen of Islam. If deen is taken to mean the day of recompense, the day of qiyamah, then he denies believing in the day of recompense, while deep inside he knows it is justified to have this day, to serve complete justice, yet denies it and says, how can it be that he would be resurrected again, while his fitrah tells him that this would happen. Ara'ayta allazi, O Prophet, did you see, who, if in the society at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could refer to a specific person. It is said that these ayahs were revealed regarding Abu Jahl, or Akhnas bin Shuray, or As bin Wail, who were the big chiefs of Makkah, and who denied the message of Islam. Or it could have a general meaning. So whoever denies this, no specific name is mentioned. Abu Jahl, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, is not alive today. But there are Abu Jahls of this time. Every time has its Abu Jahl. So fathers of ignorance are in existence today as well. There is great wisdom in the fact that there no specific name is being mentioned. Because if it was mentioned, then it would be restricted to that specific person or that time. But here it is made general, so whoever denies in this day to come. The most difficult matter to believe in for the disbelievers was believing in the hereafter. For them to believe that there will be reward and punishment, and they would be recompensed for good and bad, and that even a speck of deeds would be brought forth. This is the root cause of corruption. A person only goes on the wrong path and sins when the faith in disbelief is weak. These are consequences of a weak faith, and it has a certain outcome. For example, would we ever overspeed while driving when there is a police car near us and we can see it? No. We will go below speed but not overspeed. Why? Because we know if we speed, we will have to face negative consequences and will get stopped and get a ticket. Due to this fear, we do not go above the speed limit. So whoever has fear of the outcome in the hereafter and firmly believes in the Qiyamah, it will be as one sees the sun in the horizon, as there is no denying in seeing the sun. And believing in the Qiyamah and the hereafter with this type of certainty, a person will not go on the wrong path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Have you seen this person?" In it is a surprise, and the reader is called to pay attention. How can there be anyone who denies in the day of Qiyamah and doesn't believe in the recompense of good and bad? Can anyone fall to such low levels? Ara'aita is a past tense with continuity. The person keeps on doing it. Ayahs are revealed, yet he keeps on denying this deen, not doing it just once, but denies all the time as a routine. How can one recognize this personality? No name is given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the answer in the next ayah. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يُضُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. So he is one who repels the orphan. If we look at the personality of Abu Jahl specifically, Abu Jahl had an orphan under his guardianship. He devoured all of his wealth that was bequested to him. And this orphan became in a very poor state, so much so that he didn't even have clothes to wear. He came to the chiefs of Quraysh complaining about what Abu Jahl had done with him and wanted them to help him get his wealth back from Abu Jahl. So as a mockery, they said to him, pointing towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You see that person there? He can get your wealth back." Abu Jahl would not listen to us, so you go to him and ask him to get your wealth back from Abu Jahl. The boy didn't know, but went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained to him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went with him to the home of Abu Jahl and knocked on his door. When he came out, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to return his wealth to him. And Abu Jahl did as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. The people were surprised as they were watching the show and didn't expect this to happen. Then they asked Abu Jahl, why did he do that? Abu Jahl said, "I had a feeling that if I didn't listen to him, I would be torn to pieces and had no option but to return the wealth to the boy." So this is Yudu'ul Yateem, one who repels, drives away the orphan, and acts unjustly with him and deprives him of his right. So this is in that context. Now we will look at this ayah with its general meaning. An orphan is a child whose father is passed away, or someone who is without any support. For example, if the mother passes away and the father abandons the child and doesn't care what happens to the child. In this case, having a father and not having a father is the same for this child. The father in this case doesn't care or marries another woman and completely ignores the right of the previous wife and children who are now helpless. Basically, people of a society who have no social support or are deprived from support and care of a father in a young age. In this juz, we find many ayahs regarding support for orphans, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands in support of orphans himself. As in Surah Ad-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرُ. So as for the orphan, do not be harsh. And then in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, كَلَّا بَلْ لَا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Nay, but you do not honor the orphans. Also in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights of orphans. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servants. There are those no one cares for in a society. How would these children feel? They would feel helpless. Even when a person of 30 or 40 years loses a parent, feels the loss. This is a small, helpless child and is weak. And his entire world is the parent. A child constantly calls on the parent for his needs during the day. And if the parent is absent for even a short amount of time, the child becomes restless. And if the child doesn't have his parents, not even one, how does that child feel? The child feels extremely deprived, and this has a great impact on the child's character. There is no one to care for them nor guide them, just as parents nurture and guide their kids. Even if there are other caregivers for the child, they do it without compassion and in a harsh way, and feel they can step on them. If you look at our kids, how much they get our love and ask for things from us and make demands. But for a child who has no one to nurture him and ask from or complain to, therefore these kids are usually very quiet. Even on Eids and special occasions, our kids ask for gifts while they have no one to ask from. One can only imagine their loss. Their life is their parent. And in that small world of theirs, how sad they must be. No one can bring back their parent, but we can help in care by sponsoring an orphan through authentic organizations. It is very easy today to sponsor online. If we cannot raise an orphan ourselves, we can take care of their food, their clothing, or even their education. They deserve our attention. So those who are weak in the society, who do not have anyone to turn to, children who have fathers, no one dares to even say something to them, knowing the father will come and fight on his behalf. Even if a child comes over to someone's house with his parents, if they break something, the person of the house does not say anything, fearing the parents will respond negatively. But for those children who have no father and are of a very young age, they cannot stand up for their rights. A child who has reached the age of puberty or older, he can defend himself, but such small children cannot do anything to defend themselves. If a person mistreats an orphan child, that means there is no mercy in their heart. Believers are ones who do what tawasaw bil marhama, ones who enjoin each other to show mercy. Da'a is a word used to describe pushing someone away, repelling them, thinking they cannot give you anything, or removing someone from a gathering, kicking them out. This is also included. So basically, depriving someone of their right. Normally, this does not involve an orphan we may not know about, rather the orphan within a family, a relation, a neighbor, or someone we know personally. They are the ones deprived of their rights and are abused. They get used as servants to serve purpose of the ones who take care of them. Then they get physically pushed away. Or in a home where they are raised, they are not treated as one would treat their own child. Or they make the child who is an orphan do difficult tasks and make them do heavy work and do not let them sit with themselves or push them away. Or in a home where an orphan is raised, he is not treated as one's own child and is made to do all the chores of the house and is treated like a servant. Similarly, some people do not give the orphans their inheritance and they devour it, which was common in the society at the time of Quraysh. They thought the orphan's father died, so who would ask for the wealth? So depriving the orphan his right, no matter how rich he was, but because he could not fight to get his inheritance, he would be deprived and someone else would take over his wealth, just as Abu Jahl had done. Similarly, today, even women are not given their due inheritance, and the orphans are ignored altogether. Unless someone forcefully demands their inheritance, this is a different matter. But how can these young children do it? So these children spend their lives deprived. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that only one who has no iman in the hereafter and in the akhirah can do this, by physically repelling them or depriving them of their rights, by not giving them their due inheritance. Only one who doesn't have firm belief in the life of the hereafter would do this. If we see many people do this in a Muslim society, that means they do not have firm belief in the akhirah. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And they do not exhort upon feeding the poor and the needy. This character does not motivate others to feed the indigent. Miskeen includes a person who begs and someone who lives hand to mouth and doesn't have enough to take care beyond his basic food needs. If he needs money for medication, he doesn't have it, nor has money for Eid. This person does not beg, but he is someone who barely fulfills his basic minimum needs, but not extra. In it is included the poor, and they do not encourage the feeding of these people. Why? Because they don't get any personal gain from it. A person of this sort only works for something where he gets his own personal benefit. So they are indifferent whether if anyone feeds the poor or not. When one is concerned, he will feed the poor themselves and will encourage others to do the same. This is a big lesson that we include others in doing good deeds. It is not enough for someone to feed others themselves, but have to encourage others to do the same. So looking at the kuffar, the idolaters of Makkah, they would not feed the poor because they did not believe in the hereafter, nor knew of the great reward one gets for feeding the poor. While a mu'min, a true believer, believes with conviction in the hereafter and the rewards that are promised for feeding the poor, and knows they will get the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah for it. So a Muslim who has a firm iman will do it willingly. But for someone whose iman is weak, may not care, and will not regard even if he sees the poor and hungry in front of him, he will not even like to discuss this topic, let alone urging others to feed the poor. And he doesn't feed the poor himself either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows there are some who have been given sufficient food and those who cannot feed themselves even two meals a day nor have clean water to drink. There are some whose paper towels cost more than the cost of meals for the poor, for the weak, or the doormat which costs more than the clothes on the back of the poor, or the cell phone cover for someone could be more expensive than the entire month's food expense for a poor person. But some people do not urge others to feed these poor and needy, so others do not point at them for not doing it themselves. So we should feed the poor ourselves, if we even take out one dish from our menu this Eid, and use that money to give it to a poor person. It could mean food for an entire month for them. There are many charitable organizations where we can donate to help the poor. If in our dinner invitation we reduce even one dish, we can use that money to feed some poor people for an entire month. There are some poor families who do not have enough food to even feed the entire family to a stomach full, while we eat well ourselves and feed those who are worried how to lose their weight. This is a sign that we are eating too much. And there are so many who cannot even fulfill their basic needs. How will we give account to Allah for all those blessings? We can eat what Allah has given us, but also remember the poor. In a hadith we learn, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the worst walima invitation is one where poor and miskeen are not invited to partake in the meal. This is called the worst invitation. While we have countless invitations where only those of our status are invited and fed, and there is no feeding of the poor from it. Here, there are soup kitchens where we can donate the food for non-Muslims as well. Alhamdulillah, there are many ways and options to donate to feed the poor if we look online. If we host a large dinner, we can at the same time send some donation to feed the poor. Because if we do not think of the poor, how will we give account for all that we have on Day of Qiyamah? There are so many who are impoverished in this world. It is important that we are not among those mentioned in this ayah. We should motivate others to have regard for the poor and should encourage others to feed the poor. Here it says, وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. It doesn't say مَسَاكِينَ, but مِسْكِينَ, meaning even one poor and needy person. We realize that there are so many who are poor. If we can, we should just even feed one poor person, because hunger is a very difficult and a hard thing. In a hadith, it is mentioned that whoever fills his stomach the most will be the most hungry on the Day of Qiyamah. And sometimes we eat so much that we are ready to vomit. So what does someone get who feeds the poor and urges the feeding of the poor? In a hadith, it is mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ stated, know the poor very well and spend on them, because they have great wealth. So someone asked the Prophet, how do these poor people have wealth? The Prophet ﷺ said that on the Day of Qiyamah, it will be said to them, whoever gave you a piece of bread and gave water to drink to you, or gave clothes to cover yourself, take his hand and take him to Jannah. In another hadith, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give an excuse to a poor person just as a person excuses another. Allah will say, I did not keep you deprived of wealth in the world because you were lowly or abased, but because today I wanted to give you great honor. So we cannot think that Allah doesn't love the poor, nor that they are belittled in the sight of Allah. Rather, on the Day of Qiyamah, Allah will swear and say, He didn't deprive them of wealth and money because they were lowly, but because Allah wanted to honor and elevate them on the Day of Qiyamah. Then the poor will be told to go in the rows of those destined to enter hell for their sins, and take out those who fed and clothed them. these poor people will go to those people who will be drowned in sweat reaching to their mouths. The poor will recognize the person who fed them and will take them to Jannah. In another similar hadith, it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, an announcement will be made. Where are the fuqara, the indigent of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They will be told to rise up and find people on the place of hashr, the place of assembly. Whoever was fed by someone for the sake of Allah, or had given some water to drink to them, or gave clothes, either new or old, for the sake of Allah, they will be told, take their hands and take them to Jannah, even if they gave new or old clothes to wear. Upon this, those who were poor of the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will rise up and then take hold of those who fed, who gave them to drink, and will say, O Allah, this is the one who fed me, and this is the one who gave me to drink. In another hadith, it is mentioned that whoever feeds any living who is hungry, as we learn in a hadith about a woman who gave water to a dog and was forgiven. Even for giving water to a dog that is considered impure, a woman was forgiven. What about feeding a poor person? So in this hadith, it is mentioned that whoever feeds a living who is hungry will be fed from the best foods of Jannah. It is also mentioned in a home where people are fed, goodness reaches that home as fast as a knife runs across a hump of a camel. This is how fast goodness reaches to that house where people are fed. And if we want goodness to reach our home, then feed others. It doesn't decrease the provision that is with us. Rather, Allah placed the person's provision with us and gives us the honor when it reaches the other person from us. No one takes away from anyone's provisions. Rather, everyone only eats what Allah has destined for them. Also, sometimes people get stingy when serving their guests or sharing with others. In Surah Ad-Dahr or Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who feed the poor. Abdullah bin Mubarak would feed the best quality of dates to the poor and would say, whoever ate the most would get 1 dirham per date as well. He loved for others to eat from him. In another hadith, it is mentioned that there is no better charity than feeding someone who is hungry. In another hadith, in sight of Allah, the most beloved deed is making a Muslim happy, or removing of their grief or worry, or paying off someone's debt, or feeding them in the state of hunger. We must take note of these 4 things. First, making a Muslim happy, even by praying for them, or removing their grief by saying words of comfort to them, or paying off debt for someone, or feeding them when they are hungry. These are very beloved deeds in the sight of Allah. Now, we should make the intention to feed the poor and have to motivate others to do the same. We learn the recognition for one who denies in the hereafter. He repels the orphan and doesn't urge feeding of the poor. May Allah not make us among these people. And whoever does that means they do not firmly believe in the day of Qiyamah. Because as we learn from the hadith, whoever has yaqeen, a firm belief in the hereafter, will never let go of such a valuable opportunity. This is especially feeding of Muslims. While feeding of all living is encouraged, there are so many Muslims who are hungry and deprived. And how can we see our Muslim brothers and sisters starving while our tables are full of food? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our excesses and carelessness regarding the poor.